Now, it's our purpose in this series of lessons to trace the history of Baptist folks, folks that believe just like you and I, from the early church all the way through to this present day. Could I just, by way of repeat and introduction, say this? The very first church that was founded in the New Testament was a Baptist church. The very first church that was founded in the New Testament was a Baptist church. Now, it wasn't called, perhaps, a Baptist church during the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the days of the apostles, but their beliefs were exactly as independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists believe today. And so that's the reason that we say, and so I don't want anybody to miss us. We've got the ladies' class in here, and it's good to have you this morning. And so when I refer to Baptist folks, remember, in my heart and mind, when I refer to independent Baptists, I am not referring so much as a denomination. When I refer to myself as an independent Baptist, I'm not so much as identifying myself with a denomination. I'm identifying myself with Bible-believing, New Testament Christianity, and that's what I believe. Now, we can trace our history, our Baptist history, from the very first church all the way through until this present day. And so this morning, we're in the second century, and let me just give a little more introductory thought. Early in the history of the church, the persecutions that took place against the people of God were kind of general and spontaneous. In the early days of the church, the New Testament church, it was the Jews that began to persecute the true people of God. The Jews, of course, were not in power politically. They were under Roman domination. But the Jews began to persecute the true people of God. Folks, it wasn't long, though, that the general spontaneous persecution by the Jews of the New Testament Christians gave way to the organized persecution of Christians by the Roman governments, and that's where we're at today, is this the 10 persecutions by the Roman emperor. Now remember, Baptist folks have always been hated by organized religion and secular governments. In a very general sense, I've already told you that the reason for that was that Baptist folks have never been willing to conform or to compromise. We've always said this is it. The Bible is our only rule for faith and practice. We're going to go by the Word of God. We're going to conduct ourselves by the Word of God. And we're just not going to be moved from that. And so folks have always, organized religion, secular governments have always hated Baptist folks because we were unwilling to conform or to compromise. Now, being a little bit more specific and bringing us up to this second century time that we're in this morning, we've given the general thought of persecution, not being willing to conform or compromise. There were three reasons why the Roman governments began, the emperors began to, in an organized manner, persecute the Christians or Baptist folks. Number one, their refusal to worship the emperor banded them as rebels against the government. Secondly, they refused to worship gods, and because of that, are false gods, and they were branded as atheists. You said, Brother Kirkpatrick, how in the world does that work? Well, you know, everyone that worships the false gods had an idol that they could bow down before. Those that worshiped Diana had the great statue of the goddess Diana. The Christians didn't believe because the Bible teaches that we shouldn't bow down before idols and worship those things. And so the Christians didn't have an idol that they bowed down before. And the unbelievers, they looked upon the Christians as atheists because of the fact that they didn't actually have a visible image of their God. They also were persecuted because they were falsely accused of being cannibals. Wow, why were they called cannibals? Because the Bible teaches concerning the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to go into that, but they didn't understand those things. The lost folks of the day didn't understand that, and they accused the Christians of being cannibals. They accused them of being immoral. The Bible says in one portion, we don't practice this today, greet one another with a holy kiss. In some days, that was actually practiced, and because of things like that, they were falsely accused of being immoral. You see, unbelief can always find a reason to justify their hatred of that which is righteous. Wow. So that brings us up to date, and I want to begin to look this morning at the 10 general persecutions by the Roman emperors. I'm going to give some dates this morning. Could I just remind you before I give these dates? The validity of our faith does not rest on dates being accurate. We study a lot of things, and we put dates on different things. And if you study Baptist history, church history, if you're studying any kind of historical stuff concerning the reigns of kings and the reigns of the time that empires reign, as you begin to study, you're going to find out that there's a difference of opinion on when exactly, sometimes date-wise, things started and stopped. Folks, don't let that bother you. A general range is just fine. I don't lose a bit of sleep over that. You couldn't make me mad over that if you tried and all. I just really don't care. I study these things enough to have an idea in my mind, a general timeline, and realizing all the while that there's a little difference of opinion on dates. So I'm going to give some dates of these 10 emperors when they began their reign. And you're going to read some history of these emperors, and you're going to find dates that may vary a little bit one way or the other. Don't let it bother you. Just go right on down the line. Get in your mind a general timeline of what's going on in the past, and you'll be just fine. First of all, there was the Emperor Nero, who began in 66 A.D. Now remember, we're talking about Baptist folks being persecuted historically. We're in the second century now. We're not far removed from the first church, the first churches. We're not far removed from the very first time that Christians met together in a New Testament church. And already, severe persecution has begun. The first begun under Nero. Notable saints that were martyred under Nero include Simon Peter and the Apostle Paul and Aristarchus and Epaphras and Prisca and Priscilla and the Apostles Andrew and Bartholomew and Thomas and Matthew and Matthias. You see, the Bible doesn't record for us. Now stay with me. The Bible doesn't record the deaths of all of these that I just mentioned under Nero. But going back historically and looking at the time that these folks were martyred for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have taken place under Nero. Of course, we know that Paul, for example, was beheaded. And time-wise, that would have taken place under Nero's reign. And so the first organized persecution by the Roman emperors was under Nero in 66 A.D. Folks, keep in mind, we could spend weeks on every one of these 10 persecutions, and it's just not my intent to go into detail about to that much detail. I want to give some general thoughts about these 10 persecutions. They began, now remember, we're going century by century, so we're in the second century in the 100s. And so these persecutions began and continued. The first two that I'll mention actually started before that. And the last one I'll mention went on into the 300s, 400s even, the early 400s. And so you'll keep that in mind. We're starting with these emperors here, and we'll just go ahead and give those, and we'll come back and try to fill in some blanks. The second emperor persecution was under Domitian, beginning in about A.D. 93. Notable saints that were martyred under Domitian's emperorship were Luke, and John was banished to the Isle of Patmos, and Timothy was killed during this time. Many other true people of God. The third one began under Trajan in about A.D. 102. As you study this, this is one of those that maybe was in the first century, maybe was in the second century. Some would say that he began in about 98, others in about 102. I'm giving the date of 102 here. Notable saints that were killed during this time under this persecution. You remember a fella that we know as the Ethiopian eunuch? You remember he was riding alone. He had been to Jerusalem to worship, and but he wasn't saved, and he was riding in his chair, and he was reading Isaiah. And God supernaturally brought Philip to him, and he came to him in his chair, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian man said, "Well, how in the world can I understand unless somebody shows me, somebody helps me?" And he began there, and he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved. And he went down into the water and was baptized. Under this third emperor persecution, the Ethiopian eunuch was killed. How about a fellow in the book of Philemon by the name of Onesimus? You remember him? Onesimus was martyred during this third emperor persecution. And on and on we could go with those that were killed under this time. The fourth emperor persecution was under Marcus Aurelius, beginning in about A.D. 166. One historian wrote, "Everywhere in all the cities, the imperial edicts and decrees against the Christians were posted up, by reason of which the magistrates and the officers proceeded very cruelly against them." Many atrocities took place, and many fine people of God were killed during this time. One great old saint of God that we hear about in history by the name of Polycarp was killed in this persecution. Beginning in A.D. 201, number 5, it was Emperor L. Septimus Severus. Under Severus, there were a great number of Christians put to death. But could I also say this, and this would be a good place to mention this. Something happened during the persecutions, the emperor persecutions, that it requires some discernment for you to see this as you're studying history. Many times people were put to death in these persecutions of Christians that were not Christians at all. You see, under this persecution, under Severus, beginning in about 201 A.D., many of the family and friends of a fella by the name of Origen were put to death. Folks, for those that may not have studied Origen, his name will come up if you're studying the history of the King James Bible, the history of the true scriptures, the text from which our King James Bible will come. You will undoubtedly have studied about Origen. Probably nobody in all of history did more to damage the true Word of God and pervert the true Word of God than did the man Origen. Origen was not a Christian at all. He was not a born-again man. By his own beliefs, it would have been impossible for him to have been saved. And during this persecution, many of Origen's family members and friends and acquaintances were put to death, even though it's probable that many of those were not actually saved people. On many occasions, the mode of operation during that persecution was to come upon people while they were actually worshiping. And one of their favorite ways of killing the people was to barricade them in the building, set the building on fire, and burn the building down with everyone inside. Countless thousands of true believers, Baptist folks, folks that believe just like you and I, were burned to death during these persecutions. Their crime was meeting together. They were folks that believed just exactly like you and I. Just exactly like us. They were our Baptist forefathers. They believed the Word of God just like you and I believe the Word of God. They taught the same doctrines that you and I teach here at Philadelphia Baptist Church. That was their crime, and they met together. And in many cases, history, in most cases, history doesn't record their names, but I want to say this. God knows every one of them. He knows every one of them. He knows every name. And I assure you that He's kept an accurate record of every true child of God that gave their life for their faith. The seventh persecution was under an emperor by the name of Decius. Can I give just one account here, just one little fragment of one individual that was put to death at this time? Apollonia was an aged virgin whom the enemies of the truth apprehended. And with their fist and blows in the face, they knocked out every tooth in her head. In the meantime, a large fire of wood was kindled, and they threatened to burn her alive if she would not worship the gods and forsake Christ. But notwithstanding this miserable death, she would rather go into the fire and lose her temporal life than save it by abandoning the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the story is told time and time and time again. The history of our forefathers, our Baptist forefathers, is a history of death and suffering for the cause of Christ. And God's people, time and again, chose physical death rather than to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like this dear old saintly lady right here. She was beaten brutally. She was given one final opportunity while the fire blazed near her. Given one more opportunity, deny Christ and we'll spare you the flames. And it's happened so many times. Thousands and thousands and thousands of times, she said, I'll not deny my Lord. And she willingly went to the flames and gave her life for the cause of Christ. In AD 259, the Emperor Valerian began his persecution of the Christians. I'd like to read the little thought I've written down here. This emperor issued an edict against the Christians in which he commanded that the Christians were not to assemble themselves. What do you think Christians did after that happened? They just assembled themselves anyway. That's right, brother. They just assembled themselves. Because after all, the Bible is our only rule for faith and practice for Bible folks and for Baptist folks, and the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God's people have always done that and will always do that. But he said, nobody can assemble together. Others whose wounded bodies had been smeared over with honey were placed naked on the earth in the hot sun to be tormented and stung to death by flies and bees and other insects. Others were beaten with clubs and cast into prison until they miserably perished. What was their crime, folks? Their crime was believing exactly like you and I believe. These are our Baptist forefathers. This is what our forefathers have suffered so that you and I would have a true copy of the Word of God and still have the right to meet and assemble together. AD 273, the Emperor Aurelian began his persecution. There's an interesting historical note here. This emperor issued his edict against the people of God, and he died before it could begin to be carried out. But history tells us that those of his administration, they saw to it that his decree was carried out against the people of God with great animosity. Number 10 was a fella that began in 285. His name is Diocletian, ever how you want to say it. One historian wrote, the pagan priest wrought so effectually on the fears of Diocletian as to obtain from him in 303 an edict to pull down the sanctuary of Christians. Now notice this next phrase. I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. To burn their books and writings, and to take from them all their civil rights and privileges, to render them incapable of any honors or civil promotion. Other orders were issued. The magistrates employed all kinds of tortures, and the most unsupportable punishments were invented to force Christians to apostatize. And the ministers of religion were particularly the object of the emperor's aversion. As we flash forward, folks, the purpose of these persecutions in many cases was to, as I just read, was to get the people of God, those that profess faith in Christ, to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ, to apostatize. There came a great issue later on in church history, and we'll get to it sooner or later here, if the Lord tarries his coming, lets us get that far. But a term comes into play later on in church history, and there's a group of people that we know as the Traitores. You know who they were? They were the ones that turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of persecution. When persecution came, they turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They quit assembling together. They let the persecution of those that they had once worshiped with take place. And when things settled down, they showed back up at the door of the church and said, "We want to come back to church now." Well, there was a group of pure folks that are our Baptist forefathers, and they stood up and they said, "Well, we'll let you come back after you show the fruits of repentance in your life." And a great controversy arose during those days about whether the Traitores would just be allowed back in immediately or whether they would have to show that they were true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another historian wrote concerning the persecutions under this emperor, during the persecutions that occurred under Diocletian, now watch it, the sacred scriptures were sought with more care and destroyed with more fury than any preceding persecution. Folks, some of you will remember our study of the King James Bible, and we trace the lineage of our King James Bible from its beginning all the way through. There are places in history where we don't have a very full historical record of some things. For example, modern English, of course, is divided into early modern and late modern English. But historically, as we go back to Old English, we have some fragments of some scriptures that existed during the Old English period. And there are those that would say, "Well, you know, the people in that day didn't have much of the Bible, you know, and all we've got is a few fragments." Folks, I just think that's sheer foolishness. I think that's sheer foolishness. You see, God promised that He was going to preserve His Word to 1,000 generations. Folks, God gave the Word of God originally by inspiration. He preserved it through preservation. God gave that original Word, and then He brought that Word through time by His supernatural preservation so that you and I have a perfect and pure copy of the Word of God today. For English-speaking people, it's the King James Bible. But folks, here's what I'm getting at. Why is it that history cannot give us any broader picture of the existence of scriptures in some periods of man's history? Folks, I just read it. It's because evil people did all that they could do, not only to kill the Christians, to kill the Baptist folk, but they burned everything that they could get their hands on. They burned all their Bibles and all their books. And remember, in the days prior to the printing press, they weren't mass-produced, folks. They were one at a time, by hand. It was easier in those days to really make a big dent in all that was available by burning their Bibles and their books. You see, I'm not going to emphasize it much in this study because it's not within the scope of what I'm doing. But that's a study for another time. But the fact is, the reality is, Baptist folks have always been a people of the book. And you see, the history of the true scriptures and the history of Baptist folks is a history that runs parallel with one another, because anywhere you had true believers, you had the pure Word of God that those people were preaching and teaching from. And so in these persecutions, always keep it in the back of your mind, whether we're talking about in the first century, the second century, are we flash forward to the 1500s and the 1600s? You see, when the true people of God were persecuted, in one form or another, their Bible was persecuted along with them. Oh, my. So, we have the emperor persecution. Now, I understand that I've been very short. I've basically just mentioned them, but I wanted to give you an idea how this thing worked. You see, from the very early days of the New Testament church, the persecution of true believers began. If you turned in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, we'll not turn there right now, you'll find out that James was killed by the sword. Acts chapter 12 starts off telling us that. You see, the persecution began. In the beginning, in those very earliest days, it was just kind of general, and the Jews began to persecute the Christians, and it wasn't really organized and that sort of thing. But then that gave way to the organized persecution from the Roman emperors to the Roman Catholic Church. And throughout the Dark Ages, according to who you read, beginning in the 400 to 500 to 1400, 1500, according to who you read, a period of roughly 1,000 years, 1,100 years. Don't let the dates worry you too much. During that millennium, the Roman Catholic Church did everything that it could do to kill the true believers and to make sure that the pure Word of God didn't get to any individual in their native language. It's referred to as the vulgar tongue or the common language. You see, through all those centuries, under penalty of death, it was illegal for any individual to have the Word of God in their language. Wow. Wow. Well, let me introduce the first group that I'm going to mention here. There's a lot of groups that I'm going to mention. I'm not going to mention them all. Our Baptist forefathers were called by a lot of different names. I need to remind you now before I mention. The first group I want to refer to is the Montanists. The Montanists. Now, please keep this in mind. These believers didn't refer to themselves by these names. Most of these names that I'm going to mention are names that were given to them by their enemies. And it wasn't given to them because they liked them. It was supposed to be a name of reproach, just like Christians. They were called Christians first in Antioch, of course, the Bible tells us. But listen, that name Christians didn't get labeled Christians because they were fond of them or were trying to compliment them. They were trying to ridicule them. They said, oh, you look like that. You're following of Christ. You're a Christian. And they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the way it is with these names I'm going to mention. They were called Montanists in that day because of a leader they had early on, and that name stuck for a long period of time. It doesn't mean that they were following a man. It doesn't even mean that they ever referred to themselves by that name. It just means that historically, that's a name, a title that has stuck, and that's one of the names that we use to trace the lineage of Baptist folks in church history. The Montanists were early Baptist representatives. They believed in the priesthood of all believers. They believed in strict discipline in the church. They believed in scriptural baptism of believers only by immersion. And they believed in the imminent premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, glory be, that sounds like an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church today, doesn't it? It sure does. You see, we're simply talking about folks in history that believe just exactly like you and I believe, our Baptist forefathers. The Montanus were a group of churches in the second century. They taught sound doctrine. By the way, there wasn't a formal organization. I just mentioned the Montanus were a group of churches. Folks, there was no formal organization. They didn't join a convention. They didn't have a hierarchy over them. But, you know, I mean, we got Independent Baptist, we got Southern Baptist, we got Seventh-day Baptist, we've got foot-washing Baptist, we got Free Will Baptist, we've got all different manner of convention Baptist. I mean, there's a whole group of them. Brother Hub tells me there's 4,000 plus or whatever it is. My word. You see, some of them are conservative, some of them are liberal. You see, in those days in history, you need to keep this in mind. It was not unlike it is today. Now, here's what's going to bother a lot of folks as they begin to study. Any group that I mentioned, the Montanists, the Donatists, the Henricians, and on we'll go. We'll mention the Petrobrusians and all the different groups that I'm going to mention as we go forward. With all of these groups, there came a point in time when they began to stray, and eventually they ceased to exist completely. But God always had somebody else. He always had that remnant that carried on the cause of Christ. Folks, it's not unlike my wife Trisha and I. We graduated, and I've used this example. I'm going to use it again now. I'm about out of time. We graduated from Tennessee Temple in the 70s. Highland Park Baptist Church was a good church during those days. But it doesn't exist today. It ran its course. Unfortunately, it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And you know what? It was an independent Baptist church, and over time, I'm flashing forward. I don't have time. I'm flashing forward. They decided that they would go back into the Southern Baptist Convention after a few decades after we left there. And then they basically went out of business completely, brother. You see, that same thing has happened throughout history. And some of these groups that I'm going to mention as our Baptist forefathers, if you study close enough and you trace them long enough, you're going to find out some things went on in those groups that we wouldn't approve of today and we wouldn't want to be a part of. But folks, that's just the way it happened. That's the way it happened. Remember, we've already studied it in here. Remember, when a little leaven gets in the church, if it's not dealt with, the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Folks, you have to deal with that, which is wrong. We have to make sure that everything conforms to the Word of God. And listen, as the true people of God, if we ever allow leaven to get in, something that's contrary to the Word of God, and we refuse to deal with it, history gives us a picture of what will happen. Eventually, the leaven will kill the whole thing. Remember Revelation 2 and 3. The churches that existed in that day, none of them exist today. None of them exist today. They're all gone. But take heart. That faithful remnant, those Baptist folks, we've always been here. We're going to stay until Jesus comes. And by the way, the true church is going to keep its doors open until our Lord returns, because the Bible promises us.